Thank you all. Thank you. Man, it is so good. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is so good to be with you all, Revolution Church, and to finally meet you. Thank you for that warm welcome. You all can go ahead and grab your seat. I wanted you to see Matt and Logan here in case Logan decides he's not having it anymore and needs to exit the building. No, I'm just kidding. Just needs to leave the room. He's been doing pretty good. He came up here yesterday, explored the place, crawled around, got up on some table chairs, you know, familiarized himself so he could feel comfortable today. Man, it's just so good to be with you. What a blessing. Thank you. Thank you for welcoming us. Thank you for those that have reached out, the gifts, the love. Man, we are so overwhelmed and excited to be here and to join in with the amazing, incredible work that God is doing here at Revolution Church. On cue. There he goes. The squealing. So that's a good cue. Thank you, Logan. I know I'm supposed to dismiss Revolution Kids now at this point, but we're going to invite actually our kids that have participated in VBS this week forward. If you didn't know, our kids spent the week in Athens, Greece, learning all about Paul's missionary journeys and the bravery and boldness that it takes to share about the love of God. Awesome stuff. It was a ton of fun for that to be my first week in the office. And so we want to invite those kids forward. They're going to share with us a little bit about what they learned. All right. Awesome. Man, that was fun stuff. That's the song that's been playing on repeat in my head, you know, all week. It's good. It's good. I think the best thing about VBS and when they come and share with us on a Sunday morning is the adults and youth. Am I right? Watching them dance. So good job, Amy and Micah. Wonderful job. That was just great. Yes. Well, I'm going to say again, it is just so good to finally be here. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. The past couple months for Matt and I, for our family, have kind of felt a bit like a roller coaster. I'm sure you haven't felt this way at all, right? Any roller coaster fans in the room? Yeah? Anybody been to Cedar Point? Yeah. Okay, Millennium Force, right here. Okay, no, best roller coaster ever. This is my favorite roller coaster. I grew up going on Cedar Point retreats with my youth group. So every fall, we'd head up to Cedar Point, and this is by far my favorite. And if you've never been, let's see, I'm going to figure this out. Okay, so that's telling me what's next. All right, we got it. Okay, here we go. Oh, here we go. No. There we go. Oh, there we go. Okay. Which one? Which one? I'm going to get dizzy up here like on a roller coaster. So if you've never been, Sandusky, Ohio is right there on Lake Erie, and Cedar Point is on that awesome peninsula, okay? So like any good roller coaster, you know, you get in, it starts, click, 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 300 feet, okay? The first peak is really super tall, 300 feet, and then you get to the very top, and it's this beautiful view. Because it's on this peninsula, all of Cedar Point, where you're looking around and it's just, as far as you can see, it's just water surrounded by Lake Erie. This beautiful, breathtaking view. And then the fun part, right? Then it's the free fall, because actually this is an 80-degree drop, okay? And so you always have that free fall part of a roller coaster where your bottom comes out of the seat a bit and you're terrified and then it catches you and you go. But this is even longer. It feels even longer because it's 80 degrees, right? And you're just sort of hanging there. Especially if you were like me and my friends and we stayed and waited in line for hours to get in the very first car, right? So you're hanging there even longer. Just kind of free falling, it feels like, until it grabs you and then you go and you enjoy the rest of the ride. So a couple months ago, I get the call that I'm moving, right? And the ride begins. And once it starts, you can't get off, as we know. So the ride starts and we start heading up, click, click. The months of preparing, the prayer, the anticipation, right? Matt and I have experienced, I think, every emotion in the past couple months. Excitement over a new adventure and opportunity. Grief over leaving a beloved community at Florence. sadness over selling the house that we brought our baby home to. Joy again in finding a new place to live that's in the perfect location for our family here in Middletown. Right? And then more anticipation, fear of the unknown and uncertainty of what's to come. I mean, you just building and building and building. To, for me, this very moment, when I would be standing before you for the first time as your pastor, the top of that peak, the best view. You all are beautiful. Y'all, this is exciting. You all are beautiful. And this is the best view. And now the free fall, right? Now we're going to hang over a little bit, and we're gonna free fall just a little bit. Oh, okay, yeah, it's coming. Yeah. And then so I'm going to go ahead and say thank you in advance for your patience and grace as I adjust and learn the lay of the land and get to know you and meet you and figure out how everything works, right? I'm pretty sure that we're that part where your bottom's up out of the seat and you're like, oh, are we going to, that might feel like it's a little, you know, prolonged as I try to figure this out. You know, there might be some missteps, some blunders. I know for certain I'm going to run into this pole at some point. Like, I already feel it. I'm already aware and a little anxious about this pole, right? And so I just thank you for your grace and patience as you allow us to kind of get settled in. But I know because of the amazing people here, the staff that we have, the leaders that I've already met, man, it's going to be a great ride. It's going to catch, and we're going to be able to enjoy the rest of the ride together. So this meme, you might have seen it. This is really speaking to me right now. Maybe you as well. And it's speaking to me, knowing as a Methodist pastor that this is kind of the life that you sign up for. I knew that our life would kind of be full of adventure in that way. But through it all, through the past several months, through the preparations and the prayers for this moment, I am so grateful for the faithfulness and the presence of God through it all. I know that God is with us. I know that God is here, and I am so excited for what's in store for us as a community if we continue to be obedient to the call and the mission of God here in this place. So for my first teaching series, I wanted to share with you something that I'm very passionate about. Oh, that's my cue to, let's see. Oh, are you all doing that?
I'm doing it because you're clicking and it's not moving.
Thank you. Brenda, man, thank you. God bless you, Brenda. Man, I'm telling you, you know, it could just all be in my head. And so, man, I was like, am I doing it myself? Okay, so there we go. For my first teaching series, I want to share with you something that I'm really, really passionate about. And that is what it means to be church community together. This is not going to be new information for you all because you're already really good at doing this. But I want to share this with you as a way for you to get to know me a little bit, my call to ministry, but also for us to celebrate the work of God in this place and for the beautiful ministry and work that you guys already do. So we're going to talk about what it means to live in intentional Christian community together, kind of building each week, and how we experience the power of God when we gather together. When we gather, of course, in corporate worship, right? But even in when two or three of us gather together in fellowship, in our renovation house groups, in service, how the transformative power of God shows up and works in mighty, big, and exciting ways just when we gather together. So that's what we're going to talk about, building each week. Today, we're going to talk about how love shows up, right? The power of God. We're going to talk about how that feels like a sense of family. And in the weeks to come, talking about support, accountability, and how we have mission and purpose because the power of God that shows up when we gather together in his name. So we're going to be focusing on two scripture passages in this four-week series, my first teaching series, just two. One from Acts and one from the Gospel of Matthew. So this morning we're going to start with the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 18 through 20. I've been told that you guys like to read this together. Is that right? With some what? Chutzpah. Okay, you're going to have to tell me what that means later. Is that all right? Okay. But no, that's great. I love it. I love the energy, you know? You're excited, and we're going to read scripture together. So are you ready?
Ready.
All right. This is the right screen to look at. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on about anything, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. I mean, that's cool. Awesome. Oh, that was not part of the scripture. Sorry. So if there's anything that I know for certain about the Christian journey, it's that we need each other. We need each other for this life. Because we were not meant to live this life alone. In fact, we were created for relationship, first with God and then with one another. We are hardwired to need this sort of connection with others, this sense of belonging, right? And why? Because we are created in the image of God. We were created in the image of God. And that is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all together, all one, never ending, right? Perfect unity, perfect peace, perfect love within the image of God. So we were created in the image of community. The first time I heard that, I thought, oh, that makes sense. I like that. We were created in the image of community. All right, so maybe you're familiar. We're going to go to the next one of this Russian icon called the Trinity. Maybe you've seen it before. Maybe you haven't. I'm going to get a little nerdy here for a second because I get really excited about this. You know, I've got a former student up here. He knows. He's heard this because I get really excited about this. All right, this is the Trinity. And here we have here an image of Father, Son, Holy Spirit gathered together around a table, eating, fellowshipping, all together there as one. So now there's a ton of theological symbolism. It's just jam-packed. We don't have time to go through it all. But some of the things I want to point out that I think are really cool, you can kind of see if you look at each of the members and their bodies forms a circle, right? So a circle that's never ending, unified together, perfect love and unity. But what I want to draw attention to here for just a minute is that small rectangle that you see on the table there below it. I have another one. You might be able to see it bigger. So that is often overlooked. Right, you can look at this for hours, which is what an icon is designed to do. It's supposed to lead you in meditation. It's not an idol, right? It's supposed to lead you in meditation and prayer as you look upon and gaze upon this depiction of the Trinity, right? So easy to skip over that little rectangle. But art historians think that that used to hold the place of a small mirror, which means when you were to gaze upon this image and meditate and pray, you saw your own reflection there among them. There is a spot open at this table. It's a fourth chair, a fourth spot that's open to the observer, that's open to you as you look upon it, that's open to me, that invites us in to participate and enjoy this divine community, right? To participate in the life of God in community, in love, in peace, that divine dance of being loved and loving others. That's the image that we were created in. Isn't that cool? I'm a little nerdy. I get really excited about that. That's the image of God that you were created in. To be a Christian, then, is to be bound together in this community. That's something I skipped. We can go to the next one. So Richard Rohr, a Franciscan friar and well-known spiritual writer of our day, has said about this icon, if we are to take the depiction of God in the Trinity seriously, we have to say, in the beginning was the relationship. In the beginning was the relationship. That's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, what we're invited to be a part of, right? What we're invited to take part in by how we live our lives, by how we join together. Because to be bound, to be a Christian is to be bound together and community. Communion, union with God, and then with one another in community. We were made for it. We need it. And the best part is that when we gather together in his name, God shows up. God is here among us in mighty and chain-breaking and transformative and grace-filled ways. It's amazing. So my first experience of this kind of community, church community, that revealed to me about the love of God happened just down the road at Middletown United Methodist Church. Now, many of you might have heard or know by now that I'm from Louisville. So in many ways, this is like coming home, and it's such a gift. Because not just from Louisville, but I grew up right here, right over there, and there, right over there, in Middletown. In fact, my parents still live in the same house that I grew up in, over there in Douglas Hills. Yeah. So I have a picture, I believe. What else did I skip? We'll see. Oop. And yeah, and then the next one. Yeah, there it is. There they are. Yeah. So not all my family, but it is. That's good. It is my family. Grew up at Middletown United Methodist Church. My parents were members there before I was born. They've been a part of the same Sunday school small group for over 30 years now. And this is them when I was little. Hold on. We'll come to that one in just a minute. We're not going to dwell on that for too long. Okay. Thank you, Brenda. this is the TAB Sunday school class, their small group. And when I look at this picture, I see the mothers and fathers of my faith. I see the people who raised me. I see the people who taught my Sunday school classes and my VBS, who mentored me, who took me on mission trips, the people that would show up, you know, when one of us was sick. And there's a couple people not in this picture. One would be the Smissons. I know some of you know them, Mark and Susan Smisson. Oh, she watched me every summer when my mom worked. I mean, she's a mother to me. Debbie Wright, Vanita, they're both in this picture. Vanita Dobson, I consider them second and third mothers. People just so cherished because of the role they played in my life and upbringing, and especially my faith formation. So when I look at this picture, I do see family. This is my family. And it was everything that I could do to not have them here today, right? I'm like, no, stay where you are. Do not come here. It'll be fine. So now you can go to the next one, Brenda. So there I am, with my nice Adidas sandals. My sister is just above me, and I wanted to blow this up and show this to you because some of you know Cameron Wright, who's just below me there on the steps. Consider him my brother, right? My brother of the faith. He is also a Methodist pastor now. So he's a special friend, spiritual friend of mine now that we can share in this ministry and life together. So now you can go back to the next one. When I see this, I see my family. Because when we gather together and God shows up, God's love is poured out. We are unified in that spirit and in that love. And these relationships like family can form, right? One of the hardest things it is about leaving a church and a community, speaking from my experience here at Florence, one of the hardest things for us about leaving Florence was leaving the people that had already begun to play that role in Logan's life. He was baptized on March 24th. And before you even start, of course I put a bonnet on that baby. It's his baptism, right? You got to go full out. Bonnet, man. March 24th, around the time that we got the call that we'd be moving. And we said, you know what? We're going to go on and celebrate. You know, we're going to go on and celebrate because these are the people that had already begun to play that role in faith formation in Logan's life. So his baptism that day when Matt and I stood before the church as parents, I got to be mom that day and not Pastor Rachel, stood before the church as the parents and said, yes, we believe. Yes, we believe that God is already at work in Logan's life, and we're going to stand before you as our witnesses, church, and offer him back to God. But we're also going to say, church, we need you. We need your help. We need your support. And so on that day, Florence covenanted with us and with God to say, we're going to help you raise Logan in the faith. We're going to be here for you. And God bless them, even knowing that the day might come that I would leave. And they still stood by. And they still made that covenant and that commitment. That was one of the hardest parts about leaving Florence, was leaving that family for him. But you know, and I have so much hope that you all will become that for him in time. Because that's the same thing how you all function, any child that's born into this community. Any child or baby or adult or anyone who is baptized here into this faith community, you guys make that same commitment, right? We're going to nurture you. We're going to love you. We're going to raise you up in the faith. Why? Because we need each other. We were not meant to live this life alone. I know that that was the commitment you had in Luke and Sarah Margaret's life, and you lived that out. I've already seen it. And we are so excited that in time we will become church family. I already claim you, you know? That's okay. We'll get there, right? You'll get to know us and Logan and Matt. And I know that you guys are going to start standing in that gap for us as well. When we gather together, God shows up. There is love. There is transformation. There is belonging, a sense of belonging that we might never find anywhere else. And that's family, right? That's family. So I want to pause here for a minute. I know, as I said before, I'm not telling you anything new. Man, y'all are living it. You're doing it. We're celebrating that, what it means to live as a church community and to be like family, to be there for one another, to help raise one another in the faith, right? And I've heard your story. I've begun to hear some of your stories of how, because of this place, you have experienced the transformation of God. How you have experienced the power of God showing up because of this gathered community here. So we're going to prime the pump a little bit. And I want you to, we're going to do one of those breaks, right? Where you turn and talk to your neighbor. I love this. We're doing this, right? Okay. So, and I want you to share about how, maybe one moment, maybe a name, maybe a reason why you experience that kind of transformation here at Revolution Church. Okay? So I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to share. Okay? A little conversation. And I'm priming you because I want to hear. I've heard some of these stories, but I want to hear back a couple of answers. Right? And I'm going to learn, and we're going to celebrate. All right? Okay. Go. I was warned that I could let you just go and go, but wrap it back in, right? All right, so this could become like totally testimony witness, and that would be amazing and awesome. And like I said, I am so excited to learn and to hear. That's my first, kind of my first focus, right, is to hear the stories, to begin hearing your stories. And so if anyone feeling bold, anyone feeling brave, and they want to share, dangerous, like the one name, or this person, or here's why I'm here. Here's how I experienced. Anyone?
Mission trips.
Awesome.
Funerals.
Okay. Births. Resurrection of life. Celebrate recovery. Births. New life. In all those ways, right?
House group.
Awesome. House group. Oh, I'm excited to meet those. Yeah, meet those leaders. Awesome. So many wonderful ways that you guys are already living this and already doing it, right? I've begun to hear your stories, like I said. Those that have told me, man, if it weren't for this place, man, if it weren't for these people, if it weren't for the amazing ways that God showed up and set me free from my pattern of life that I was living. I've heard some of you say, I had said no to church. I was done for years. But this brought you back to the throne of grace. I've heard you say, never been to church, didn't think I would be welcome there. But this is a place for everyone. Even this morning, I heard one of you say that. This is a place that loves and accepts everyone, because we can come from every walk of life, every past mistake, and we can find a place at the table, we can find a place to belong. That's what the kingdom of God is, right? That's what the kingdom of God is like, a place for everyone. And so the fact that you guys are already living that and doing that is just a beautiful thing that we're going to keep going. We're going to keep doing it, right? So I want you to hear this morning, yes, this is a new chapter. And yes, this is hard. There is grief, just like what I shared before. And it's okay. That's okay to be grieving. Yes, I will be different, or I'll have a different style or a different voice. I'll probably fumble around a little bit, right? Make some mistakes, run into this pole once or twice, right? But at the end of the day, I know you've heard this before. It's not about who's up here. It's not about me. It's not even really about you, right? It's about the mission of God. And it's about a group of people that have said yes for many, many years, right? Said yes to God, said yes to this call and this mission. And that continues. That has to continue. The revolution continues. Because as long as there are people living without hope in this world, there is still work to do. I know there's nothing easy about this, but I know that God is not done with this place. Man, nowhere close to that. God is at work. God is moving. God is breathing life into this place. And so I pray that we might be able to experience that ever-moving, ever-loving, ever-redeeming presence of God as we continue to gather together week after week here in this place. And honestly, it doesn't matter if it's here or out there or anywhere, right? When we gather, the revolution continues. Because when we gather, there is love, there is belonging, there is family, there is transformation. There is the power of God that shows up and unites us together. And that's a beautiful thing. Something else that I'm learning about you is that invitation is just a part of who you are. Invitation is a part of your DNA, because you understand that being invited here to this spot is the front door into this community, but it's where the presence of God is revealed, right? And so invitation should be at the core of who we are. Because if we are to understand the invitation that we have received from God and that grace and that new life to come to that table, right? If you think back to that picture, she told me it's working now. Here we are, invitation at the root of who you are. Let's go back to I didn't have the picture of the Trinity. If you go back to that in your head, right? That spot at the table is open. If we are to understand that first invitation extended to us, right? Then why else wouldn't we keep inviting others to keep that going? We should always be asking then, who do I know that needs to experience this? Who do I know who needs this community? Who do I know that needs to show up here and to experience the power of God and the love poured out and to be united and welcomed? Who do I know that needs a place to belong? So many people living without hope in this world. Who do I know right here in my community, in Louisville, in Middletown, J-Town, wherever, we come from all over. And that's a beautiful thing. Who do you know that needs to experience this welcome? If God so welcomed us, then who can we welcome in that same love? Friends, the revolution continues. As we continue to be that people of hope, a people of the mission that are set out to invite and to welcome and to love people to the best of our ability. And I'm just so excited to continue celebrating that and doing that and living that here with you guys. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for who you are and for your love and grace that is poured out, that welcomes us, that invites us in. God, we thank you for how you've called us. We thank you for how you have gathered us together in this place. You have formed us to be your people, and what a gift that is. So we give you thanks. We give you thanks, God, for this gift of grace. Amen. Man, God is good, and God is faithful. And that is a wonderful, beautiful song to close out our worship here. But Our worship continues throughout the rest of our week as we live and as we serve and love others. I thank you so much for the welcome, for how you have loved us. And I'm just so excited to discern and to learn and to say, hey, what's next? Where are we going next? What's God have in store for this place and this time right here, right now? I'm just so excited. So thanks for being a part of that. So now let's go and be the revolution. Amen.